Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Let's talk a little bit about artificial intelligence. AI is everywhere these days, but what do we actually do with it? Digital and social media strategy expert Scott Kleinberg joins us now, as he does every Tuesday at this time, and he has some suggestions. Scott, good morning. And we all keep hearing about ChatGPT, also Gemini, Perplexity. Can you break it down for us a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Good morning, Bob. So the great thing is you don't need to be a tech expert to use these tools. So, you know, let's start with the basics. ChatGPT, the ones you mentioned, Perplexity, Gemini, they're all AI chatbots. So you type in a question or a request and they respond in plain language.
Let's talk about some real life examples. What exactly can you ask these AIs to do?
So many things. Some practical examples would be you can get quick answers. You can get explanations of news stories, historical events, find out how something works. For example, you can say, why do we have leap years? Or how does Wi-Fi work? That's always a good question. Summarize information. You can paste in a long article or an email and then ask the AI to give you the main points, which is really great for cutting through information overload. You can write and edit text if you need help writing a letter, an email. You can even ask it to write a poem. It can draft it for you. It can also check your grammar, which is great, and make it sound more professional, always helpful. You can plan and organize. If you're planning a trip, if you're making a grocery list, if you're organizing your week, you can even get meal ideas or recipes based on what's in your fridge. Now, I've done that, and that's kind of fun. And you can learn new skills. If you're curious about a hobby, you want to learn something new, you can ask for step-by-step guides, like how would I start a vegetable garden, or teach me the basics of digital photography.
Let me stop you here for a second, because I'm wondering about a couple of things. One, you hear a lot about misinformation on AI, and you also hear when people want to write something and they ask artificial intelligence for help, that it's really just basically a first draft. What do you think?
Well, there's definitely a lot of misinformation out there, and I think it depends on what you are asking it to do. If you ask for something basic or something based on ingredients in your fridge, that's going to work well. If you're asking for, you know, the basics of digital photography, how does Wi-Fi work, that's going to be pretty simple. If you start bringing politics into it or current events, that's when you're going to start getting the possibility of misinformation. And the first drafting is really interesting, because the best part of AI is when you ask it to do something and then you ask it a follow-up question. The follow-up question is where it becomes so much more powerful.
Interesting. So is there a difference between those different AIs you mentioned, or are they all the same?
Well, they're similar for sure, but they each have different strengths, and you'll get used to each one as you try it. ChatGPT is known for its detailed explanations. It writes creatively. It's good at conversation. Perplexity is known for real-time info, more up-to-date things, web search. It shows the exact sources where things come from, which when you're talking about misinformation, that's great. And Gemini has Google integration, so it's very, very widely used. It offers quick answers and images. Gemini is probably the closest thing to using a Google search in a more natural type of voice.
Now, you get AI with most smartphones automatically now, don't you, if you're on a Google search?
In some cases, yes. When you search for something on Google, the first thing that pops up is the AI-generated answer. So that's kind of a taste into what AI looks like. But if you're using an actual AI tool, you can get that, and then you can get so much more. And again, it's that follow-up question that really, really makes it interesting.
Talking with Scott Kleinberg about artificial intelligence. And Scott, what about beyond chatting? Let's talk about what AI can help with, some other tasks they can assist.
Yeah, sure. So you could transcribe and summarize meetings. If you were to upload a transcript of notes, the AI can summarize what was discussed. You can, depending on the platform, you can create and edit images. Some AIs let you touch up photos. You can even create simple graphics. This is a little bit more advanced, but the possibility is there. You can get help with spreadsheets. If you're stuck on a formula in Excel, and of course we all have been, you can ask the AI to write it for you, even if you don't know the technical way to do it. And you can get personalized recommendations. Ask for what kind of books you should read, what kind of movies you should see, or maybe you're looking for a place to travel. You can suggest, you can get suggestions based on your interest.
Some people are intimidated by all of this. Any advice for someone just starting out?
It's overwhelming when you first see it. It's hard to believe that this thing is real. It's hard to believe that it can actually help you do all these things. I would just say, like everything else in tech, it's just starting slow. Ask what you're comfortable with and then start asking questions to build on top of it and see where you end up. And if you feel like it's too much, too personal, or you're giving too much information away, you can just dial it back.
And a lot of these AI tools I know are free, but there are paid versions, aren't there?
Yeah, that's right. And free versions are powerful enough for most everyday needs. You can ask questions, like we said, you can write, you can summarize, you can learn things, but paid versions unlock more advanced models. You can use it more often. There's special features, best for heavy users or professionals or those who really need deeper research and integration. And that's honestly a different way of using AI, but it's there. And for most people, starting with the free version is a great way to explore. I can't imagine you really needing to jump into the paid version. So, but once you use the free version, then you can decide if you need more. And if you do, then you can decide if you want to upgrade.
And let's say you start putting AI through its paces. You like it. What else can you use it for? What would the next step be?
Well, see, that's where the power comes in. It's fast moving beyond chatbots. There's actual true creativity. There's automation. There's real research. There's even real world problem solving. Now, you mentioned the misinformation before, so that's an interesting thing to keep in mind. But if you're curious, there's literally a whole world of AI-powered tools to explore that go beyond the three that we've been focusing on.
It makes you wonder where we'll be with all this in a year or two or three down the road.
Sometimes I wonder where we're going to be in a week, let alone down the road. It's amazing.
So to sum up, you don't need to be a tech whiz to use AI. You just type in your question or your task, and then you let AI do the heavy lifting, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, for a lot of people, you can save time. For some people, it's learning something new. And honestly, for some people, it's just having a little bit of fun to see what's possible. And all of these tools are kind of a great place to start. And you can use them right from your computer, right from your phone. There's no complicated setup. It's really easy to do.
So on my phone now, when I'm searching for something on Google, and then automatically I get AI and the AI results. That's Gemini, isn't it? That's the free one you were talking about?
Yes, that's Gemini. They all have their own different versions, but yes, that's Gemini. The ones that like Apple has may be a combination of other different ones. In some cases, it really depends on where it comes from. But yes, to your question about specifically Google, that's Gemini.
Here's our Genius Bar question for you this week, Scott. It was emailed to us. I have a 2020 MacBook Pro laptop. I'm being prompted by the computer to upgrade the operating system from Sonoma to Sequoia. Would you recommend doing this? The last time I upgraded, I lost my Adobe Photoshop program and couldn't get it back. Are there definite advantages or disadvantages to upgrading? In particular, I don't want to lose my Microsoft Office suite. Thank you in advance for your response, Scott. What do you think?
That is a really good question, because on the surface, the answer to the question is definitely yes, because when you upgrade, you get the newest and the latest features. And I always tell people, if you have a computer that can handle the latest operating system, upgrade, because we've talked previously about security and about how those under the hood things that happen are things that are upgrading security. If you haven't upgraded your main operating system in a while, you're missing some of those security updates, which is very important. But you bring up a really good point about not losing things. Technically, you're not supposed to lose anything when you upgrade. easier said than actual reality, because in a lot of cases, Photoshop goes missing and you lose the Microsoft Office suite. You have to hope that doesn't happen. So in my humble opinion, based on previous experience, I would always upgrade and I would cross my fingers. And I know it's going to sound ridiculous. And I would really, really hope for the best that those things don't happen, because I think the pros outweigh the cons so much more when it comes to operating systems. And I always tell people, if you have a computer that cannot upgrade to the newest operating system, that's when you should start thinking about buying a new computer, because that's when you run the risk of potentially not getting those important security updates.
There you go. Upgrade, but keep your fingers crossed. Scott Kleinberg. Thank you, Scott. Talk to you next week.
Take care, Bob. You too.